There's a new mental health resource for Michigan personnel and their families, and Michigan is at the forefront of the effort. It's called STAR Behavioral Health Providers. Specialized training is being given to behavioral health professionals so they can better assess and counsel servicemen and women. Michigan was the second state to get a grant to establish the program, which started just in April. One wave of training has now been completed. Michigan Project Coordinator Paul Lepley is based at Michigan State University. He's a mental health therapist who served in Afghanistan. Paul, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
And Dan Zomerle is a PhD student in human development and family studies at MSU. He's gone through all three tiers of the training. Dan, welcome to Current State.
Thanks for having us.
And they're joining us to fill us in on the STAR Behavioral Health Providers Program. We hear a lot about the mental health needs of American military personnel and veterans, and that often those needs are not being adequately met. The suicide rate's extraordinarily high. Is that the thing that the STAR Behavioral Health Providers Program will address?
That's just part of it. Mental health in general is really what we hope to address. There's so many service members that come back from deployments with mental health problems, and yet for them to get services, there's a very inherent disconnect between the service members and the providers that they would actually provide the service to them.
Paul, tell us about your service. I know you were in Afghanistan.
Yes, I'm with the 126th Cavalry Regiment, stationed out of Wyoming, Michigan, and I have one tour to Afghanistan where I acted as a chaplain for a squadron. And yeah, it was quite amazing to just go through that whole process of getting ready to go overseas, being overseas, and then coming home. And then not only what I went through, but the journey that my family had to take, too.
How's that?
Well, each service member has roughly 1.5 dependents. So we look at a deployment and we think of the service member alone, when in fact there's a much larger group of people being affected by that deployment. So I have a wife and 3 kids that were affected by me being away. And so for me to listen to what they were going through and not to really be physically present to help them out through those issues as a husband and as a father, that was very difficult to deal with.
Describe for us your actual service in Afghanistan, though. There were a lot of infantry men and women to counsel?
Yes, yep. One of the issues that the military seems to be facing is, with chaplains in particular, is when they send a group over, they'll oftentimes pare down that group. And when they pare down that group, they lose the slot for a chaplain. My squadron commander, Colonel Tellier, was smart enough to say, you know what, we should probably have a chaplain with a small group that's going over. And so we got over there, and it turns out that there's a bunch of these small groups over there that we got chaplains paired off. And so instead of providing ministry support for the group that I was originally intended to, I ended up providing ministry support for a much larger demographic of individuals than I thought. And that was across all branches of the military.
And Dan Zomerle, tell us about your training here in the STAR Behavioral Health Providers Program. You've completed it.
Correct. Yeah, so the training has 3 tiers to it. The first tier involves kind of an acculturation, training civilian practitioners like myself about the language of military, about certain experiences that are specific to the men and women who serve. The second tier then looks at some specific issues, such as you mentioned suicidality, that was covered, traumatic brain injury, depression, insomnia, some of the more common issues that service men and women have to deal with when they come back from their tours of duty. And then the final tier is a specific evidence-based training. The one I attended is called cognitive processing therapy, and that is specific to post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. And so clinicians like myself, people across Michigan, civilian practitioners, learning about specific interventions to address the unique challenges and needs that servicemen and women face when they come back from their deployments.
And where are you right now, Dan? Are you working with veterans actively now, or will you be stepping that up into the future?
I hope to step that up in the future. I'm still finishing my PhD program, and I have a limited license as a marriage and family therapist in the state. So I do still see families. Currently, I have a lot of clients who are family members of either like a sibling or relative of someone who is serving actively currently. I hope in the future to step up that service to men and women who are active duty or reserve members.
We certainly wish you luck on this. Paul, are there any treatment successes you can point to at this stage of the game, or is it still too early?
What do you mean by treatment successes?
Working with Michigan veterans, let's say, graduates of the of this program, working with Michigan veterans.
Yes, we can actually, part of our website is has two sides. So it has a provider side, which a mental health provider can go to and apply to training, see what the training is about. The other side is for the service members and their families to go to. And we can actually track how many hits we have, which general areas they are. And I get phone calls from different people within the National Guard saying, hey, I got this service member who's looking for services. Can you help us out? And so I can then better direct that service member to a provider who's received the specialized training, which then helps decrease the barriers between the service member and the provider.
Dan, can you talk to us about learning, trying to acclimate yourself to the experience of a veteran, of an infantry person who has really seen violent violent action in Afghanistan, for example, a PTSD patient? What is it like acclimating to that mindset?
A lot of it is, there's a concept of informed not knowing. As a therapist, there's this idea of you do good work when you are informed about the experiences of the people that you work with, but also coming from a place of curiosity and asking questions to learn about the specifics of their experience. And that's been my learning with the training regarding military members and their families, of using this training that Star Behavioral Health is providing as a way to be more informed about the language, about the culture, about the experiences specific to service, and in that process of asking questions specifically about the specific experiences of each of the military men and women that I might meet with.
Paul, is it common for veterans to resist assistance like this?
Yes, sir. As a chaplain, I'm usually one of the first points of contact with a service member when they have an issue. The commander usually says, hey, chaplain, you need to talk to this individual. I say, roger that, and I go talk to that individual. And before we left, of all the individuals I talked to, about 9 out of 10, during the course of maybe an hour that I had with them, when it became evident that they needed further help, I'd be like, you know, you probably should get some services from another mental health provider outside of the military, somebody in your own community. And 9 out of 10 times, that service member would, their shoulders would sag, their head would drop, and they'd get this really defeated sound in their voice, and they'd say, chaplain, I tried that, but they just didn't get it.
And that is really what this program aims to correct.
Yes, sir.
Is that right? Why was Michigan so early for this program? Is the need greater in Michigan?
Well, Michigan has, if my stats are not mistaken, the seventh highest veteran population with no active duty component here. We have about 690,000 veterans in the state of Michigan as of 2012. So that's a very large demographic of individuals that need help, that there's potentially a disconnect between them and the service providers. Also, with why we're so early to adopt the program is we are called a beta state, so we're a second state to adopt the program. Primarily because of Dr. Adrian Blows, he's the director of the program, his connection with the Military Family Research Institute out of Purdue University. Mm-hmm. And so he heard about it, and he's done a lot of studies, a lot of research on military and military families. And he wanted to just kind of spearhead this and see if we can replicate what they did in Indiana and Purdue before it goes nationally, because there is a chance that this program will go nationally here in the next few years.
You mentioned the importance of the family dynamic, that each veteran on the average has, what, 1.5 other family members. Do family members ever require different kinds of assistance than the veteran, him or herself?
Yeah, that's a great question, and a lot of it depends on what the situation is. Mm-hmm. One nice thing when you get deployed, usually your income goes up a fairly substantial amount, and oftentimes veterans really look forward to those deployments. But I'll never forget my wife saying, you know, you value this deployment more than you value us. You are here physically, this is as we're getting ready to go, but you're not here mentally. And so me looking forward to a deployment, my wife dreading it, was a very interesting dichotomy to reconcile between the two of us. And then along the way, I got my wife on board with the deployment saying, honey, when I get that mid-tour leave, we can meet in Paris. And she was all for that. And then all of a sudden, is we got just January 1st of 2012, the Army changed its policy to 9-month deployments, which is about 260 days. You need like 270 days roughly to get the mid-tour deployment. So we lost all mid-tour deployments, and then my wife was just kind of down and out.
Are we arguably playing serious catch-up when it comes to assisting Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans?
I'd say so. It seems like from what veterans have reported to me that there's a backlog within the VA system. I had a provider who has a son who has pretty severe PTSD who had an episode about 2 months ago. And through this episode, the provider tried to take his son to the VA to get in-resident treatment because his son was suicidal. And when he got there, the VA wasn't able to serve him because their beds were full. And so what's that father-in-law supposed to do with his son who or his son-in-law who's really needing help but can't get it right then and there when he needs it? And so then that with that issue, the that family had to rely upon local services that were available.
What Dan, what are you looking forward to most in your role as a counselor of service veterans?
To be helpful and to break down that barrier of service or treatment to the servicemen and women that Paul talked about, the shrugged shoulders of the, you said they just don't get it. I look forward to people like myself, other mental health professionals getting it and learning more about the unique needs to military families and for myself to get it and to break down that barrier and increase the comfort level of servicemen and women with finding treatment in people like me, other counselors out there, civilian counselors even, where they can feel confident that we do understand their challenges and their needs.
Has being through the STAR Behavioral Health Provider Program, has that really altered how you view veterans and their needs?
I don't know if it's dramatically altered. I had a great deal.
You did have a mental health background before you embarked in this.
Yeah, so a lot of the specific diagnoses familiar with, but not specific to how those symptoms maybe play out or are shown in servicemen and women. And so it has improved my understanding of what to look for, questions to ask, and even interventions that maybe can be most helpful to military families.
We want to thank both of you for joining us today, and we wish you both the best of luck. We've been talking about the STAR Behavioral Health Providers. Our guests have been the Michigan Project Coordinator, Paul Lepley, who's based here at MSU, mental health therapist, and Dan Zomerle, a PhD student in Human Development and Family Studies at MSU, and the topic has been the STAR Behavioral Health Providers. Thanks much and good luck.
Thank you, sir.